Hello， 大家好，又到了和西哥学英语的节目时间了。FM 19118，喜欢本节目的同学呢，可以通过下载荔枝 FM 来收听本节目。那么今天讲一部演讲 Elena London The Voices in My Head， 像大多数大学生一样的这个 Elena London 上课的时候脚步轻快，但是呢有一天他发现自己确诊为精神分裂症患者，经常听到一些脑子里的声音，药物治疗最后却为束手无策的奇迹所遗弃。最后呢Elena London 本人诉说着自己如何经历多年努力挽回心理健康，以经验证明学习倾听内在的声音呢让他撑了过来。The day I left home for the first time to go to university was a bright day brimming with hope and optimismI've done well at school. Expectations for me were high, and I gleefully entered the student life of lectures, parties, and traffic cone theft. Now, appearances, of course, can be deceptive. And to an extent, this facety, energetic persona of lecture-going and traffic cone-stealing was a veneer, albeit a very well-crafted and convincing one.Underneath, I was actually deeply unhappy, insecure, and fundamentally frightened. Frightened of other people, of the future of failure, and of the emptiness that I felt was within me. But I was skilled at hiding it. And from the outside, appeared to be someone with everything to hope for and aspire to. This fantasy of invulnerability was so complete.That I even deceived myself. And as the first semester ended and to the second began, there was no way that anyone could have predicted what was just about to happen. I was leaving a seminar when it started, humming to myself, fumbling with my bag, just as I'd done 100 times before, when suddenly I heard a voice calmly observe, "She's leaving the room."I look around. There was no one there. But the clarity and the deceiveness of the comment was unmistakable. Shaken, I left my books on the stairs and hurried home. And there it was again. She's opening the door. This was the beginning. The voice had arrived, and the voice persisted. Days and then weeks of it on and on, narrating everything I did in the third person.She's going to the library. She's going to a lecture. It was neutral, impassive, and even after a while, strangely companionated and reassuring. Although I did notice that its claim exterior sometimes slipped and that occasionally mirrored my own unexpressed emotion. So for example, if I was angry and I had to hide it,which it often did, being very adept at concealing how I really feel. Then the voices would sound frustrated. Otherwise, it was neither sinister nor disturbing, although even at that point it was clear that it had something to communicate to me about my emotions, particularly emotions which were remote and inaccessible. Now it was then that I made a fatal mistake.In that I told a friend about the voice, and she was horrified. A subtle conditioning process had begun. The implication that normal people don't hear voices and the fact that I did meant that something was very seriously wrong. Such fear and mistrust was infectious. Suddenly, the voice didn't seem quite so benign anymore.And when she insisted that I seek medical attention, I duly complied, and which proved to be mistake number two. I spent some time telling the college GP about what I perceived to be the real problem. Anxiety, low self-worth, fears about the future, and was met with bored indifference until I mentioned the boys. Upon which, he dropped his pen, swung round and began to question me with a show of real interest. And to be fair, I was desperate for interest and help. And I began to tell him about my strange commentator. And I always wish, at this point, the voice had said, "She's digging her own grave." I was referred to a psyche, who likewise took a grim view of the voice presence, subsequently interpreting everything I said through a lens of latent insanity. For example, I was part of a student TV station that broadcast news bulletins around the campus, and during an appointment which was running very late, I said, "I'm sorry, doctor, I've got to go. I'm reading the news at 6. Now it's down on my medical records that Lena has delusions that she's a television news broadcaster." It was at this point that events began to rapidly overtake me. A hospital admission followed, the first of many, a diagnosis of schizophrenia came next. And then, worst of all, a toxic, tormenting sense of hopelessness, humiliation and despair about myself and my prospects. But having been encouraged to see the voice not as an experience but as a symptom, my fear and resistance towards it intensified. Now, essentially, this represented taking an aggressive stance towards my own mind, a kind of psychic civil war. And in turn, this caused the number of voices to increase and grow progressively hostile and menacing. Helplessly and hopelessly, I began to retreat into this nightmarish inner world in which the voices were destined to become both my preceptors and my own perceived companions. They told me, for example, that if I proved myself worthy of their help, that they could change my life back to how it had been. And a series of increasingly bizarre tasks was set, a kind of labor of Hercules. It started off quite small, for example. Pull out 3 strands of hair, but gradually grew more extreme, culminating in commands to warn myself, and a particularly dramatic instruction. "You see that tutor over there? You see that glass of water? Well, you have to go over and pour it over him in front of the other student." Which I actually did, and which, needless to say, did not endear me to the faculty. In effect, a vicious cycle of fear, avoidance, mistrust, and misunderstanding had been established, and this was a battle in which I felt powerless and incapable of establishing any kind of peace and reconciliation. 2 years later, and the deterioration was dramatic. By now, I had the whole frenzied repertoire. Terrifying voices, or grotesque visions, bizarre, intractable delusions. My mental health status had been a catalyst for discrimination, verbal abuse, and physical and sexual assault. And I've been told by my psyche, "Elena, you'd been better off with cancer, but because cancer is easier to cure than schizophrenia. I'd been diagnosed, drugged, and discarded, and was by now so tormented by the voices that I attempted to drill a hole in my head in order to get them out. Now, looking back on the wreckage and despair of those years, it seems to me now as if someone died in that place, and yet someone else was saved. A broken and haunted person began that journey. But the person who emerged was a survivor and would ultimately grow into the person I was destined to be. Many people have harmed me in my life, and I remember them all, but the memories grow pale and faint in comparison with the people who have helped me. The fellow survivors, the fellow voice hearers, the comrades and the collaborators, the mother who never gave up on me, who knew that one day I would come back to her and was willing to wait for me for as long as it took. The doctor who only worked with me for a brief time, but who reinforced his belief that recovery was not only possible but inevitable. And during a devastating period of relapse, told my terrified family, "Don't give up hope. I believe that Linear can get through this. Sometimes, you know, it snows as late as May, but summer always comes eventually. 14 minutes is not enough time to fully credit those good and generous people who fought with me and for me, and who waited to welcome me back from that agonized, lonely place. But together, they forge a blend of courage, creativity, integrity, and an unshakable belief that my shattered self could become healed and whole. I used to say that these people saved me, but I now know is they did something even more important in that they empowered me to save myself. And crucially, they helped me to understand something which I'd always suspect, that my voices were a meaningful response to traumatic life events, particularly childhood events, and as such were not my enemies, but a source of insight into solvable emotional problems. Now at first, this was very difficult to believe, not least because the voices appear so hostile and menacing. So in this respect, a vital first step was learning to separate out a metaphoric meaning from what I previously interpreted to be a literal truth. So for example, voices which threatened to attack my home, I learned to interpret as my own sense of fear and insecurity in the world rather than an actual objective danger. Now at first, I would have believed them. I remember, for example, sitting up one night on guard outside my parents' room to protect them from what I thought was a genuine threat from the voices. Because I'd have such a bad problem with self-injury, and the most of the cutlery in the house had been hidden. So I ended up arming myself with a plastic fork, kind of like a picnic ware, and sort of sat outside the room, clutching it and waiting to spring into action should anything happen. It was like, "Don't mess with me. I got a plastic fork, don't you know? Strategic." Throughout all of this, what I would ultimately realize was that each voice was closely related to the aspects of myself, and that each of them carried overwhelming emotions that I never had an opportunity to process or resolve. Memories of sexual trauma and abuse, of anger, shame, guilt, low self-worth. The voices that took the place of this pain and gave words to it. And possibly one of the greatest revelations was when I realized that the most hostile and aggressive voices actually represented the parts of me that had been hurt most profoundly. And as such, it was these voices that needed to be shown the greatest compassion and care. I work in the mental health service. I spoke at conferences. I published book chapters and academic articles, and I argued, continue to do so, the relevance of the following concept, that important question in cycle shouldn't be what's wrong with you, but rather what's happened to you. And all the while, I listened to my voices with whom I finally learned to live with peace and respect, and which in turn reflected a growing sense of compassion, acceptance, and respect towards myself. I remember the most moving and extraordinary moment when supporting another young woman who was terrorized by her voices, and becoming fully aware for the very first time that I no longer felt that way myself, but was finally able to help someone else who was. For me, the achievements of Hearing Voices movement are a reminder that empathy, fellowship, justice, and respect are more than words. They're convictions, beliefs, and the beliefs can change the world. In the last 20 years, the Hearing Voice movement has established Hearing Voices networks in 26 countries across 5 continents. Working together to promote a dignity, solidarity, and empowerment of individuals in mental distress. To create a new language and practice of hope, which at its very center lies an unshakable belief in the power of the individual. As a very wonderful doctor once said to me, "Don't tell me what other people have told you about yourself. Tell me about you." 好了，为大家读完了，不知道大家有没有听明白呢？那这个讲是一个，就是曾经被诊断为这个精神病者的一个大学生，他是怎么克服自己的？他就这么说哈，我就给大家稍微的翻译一下。我第一次离家到大学念书的那一天呢，感觉非常的棒啊，这个日子是充满了希望。我的这个学业表现不错，大家对我的期望也是颇高的。我也满怀期待地投入了大学生活，上课、参加派对，喝醉了呢，就偷这个交通路标。当然，事情不能只看表面。就某种程度而言呢，上课和偷这个交通路标呢，这些活跃又不突出的这些印象只是伪装，但掩饰得很好，足以瞒过任何人。只是我内心其实不快乐，而且不安，骨子里很害怕，怕其他人，未来怕失败，还有内心的空虚感。但我隐藏得很好，外表看起来就像是对一切都充满期待与抱负，怎么都不怕的想法是如此的彻底，连我自己都信以为真。所以念完一个学期呢，新学期开始的时候，根本没有人能预料将发生的事情。当时一开始上课，我正要逃学，我边哼歌边收拾东西，动作一如往常熟练。这时传来一个冷眼旁观的声音，他又走了。我四下张望，但根本没有人的声音果断的很清晰，不可能是我听错，我太震惊了。声音又来了，他说他正要开门。那么这个声音不断的重复着，就是这样开始的。然后这声音又说他要上图书馆了。这声音起初毫无感情，但一段时间后呢，却令人莫名的熟悉与安慰。但我的确发现呢，这表面平静的语调，有时呢也会不经意的泄露我隐藏的情绪。 unexpressed emotion 啊，隐藏的情绪，就是没有表达情绪的意思。就拿我常需要压抑愤怒之事来说吧，隐藏情绪这事我很在行的，不过那声音就会因此听起来很气愤、很气馁，但其他时候呢，听来还不是令人不安。尽管这声音当时很明显的有事要对我说，尤其是我情绪始终深藏不露的这件事。就在那时，我犯了一个大错，我把听到声音的说给一位朋友听，他吓坏了，他开始不着痕迹地导正啊，我暗示幻听不是正常的现象，而我自己也觉得很不对劲，这样的恐惧和疑虑是会传染的。忽然那声音听来不再那么友善，当他坚持我必须看医生的时候呢，我顺从地照做了，但事后证明那是第二个错误啊，这个是 mistakes number two。 之后呢，我找这个医生谈，说出了我担忧的问题，这像是这种焦虑、没自信和对未来的恐惧，但对方没什么兴趣，也不在乎。但当我一提到听见有人说话这件事，他立刻放下手中的笔，转过头来开始很关心地问了一些问题。平心而论，我当时非常渴望关切和帮助，所以我就把一位评论员的事说了出来。我深信当时那声音会说他在自掘坟墓，这里这个 narrator 就是评论员哈，就是在说自己这个内心的这个声音啊。那么前面刚刚说了，就是他第一天上课的时候感觉棒呆了，日子充满了希望， brimming 啊 with optimism。Brimming， 这个 brim 是这个冒烟的意思，这就是泛着，这里就是泛着快乐啊的意思啊。然后呢，我就被转到这个精神科医生了，有声音这件事儿被很严肃的进行看待。完了，有个医生就说，后来那个 都被当作精神异常的可能征兆。比方说我们就是他这个声音里面所有说的东西都被当作了精神异常的可能征兆。比方说我们学校有新闻电视台，而我是成员之一，有一次会面的时间太久，我说医生抱歉我得走了，我还要回去报六点的新闻，结果诊断书上说我幻想自己是电视新闻主播。从此事情发展迅速超出了我所能掌控，就在我住院后精神分裂的诊断也确定了是最糟的，那种不抱希望屈辱还有对自己和前途的绝望的折磨令人痛苦不堪。因为一直被灌输这个概念，听到怪声音不是一种经验，是有病，我对此的恐惧和抗拒呢也与日俱增。这等于要我与自己的思想为敌，心灵内战，那个叫做这个 Psyche Civil War。 Psyche 啊，这是心灵的意思， Psyche Civil War， Civil War 内战， Psyche Civil War 啊，非常好的一个词组。这个刚开始还只是些小意思，像是拔了下三撮头发，但逐渐变本加厉，最后要我做一些伤害自己的事情，就是这个他挠坏自己的声音，还有一些夸张的指示。看见那个教授没有？有一杯水对吧？你过去在他学生面前把水倒头上。我真的照做了，当然不用说，我也成为教职员中的头疼人物。回首这些年的这个千疮百孔，看起来就像有人在这个损益一样，但另一个人却获救。起初那个伤痕累累又不安的人呢，已经蜕变为一个救星，最后变成了这个命中注定的样子。我一生被许多人伤害过，而且我都记得，但相较于受人恩惠，那些不堪回首的事却显得依稀模糊了。那些同病相怜的过来人、朋友和伙伴，还有对我从未放弃的希望的母亲，她知道女儿总有一天呢会恢复，而她愿意一直等下去。那位和我萍水相逢的医生不仅坚信我有可能康复，而且一定会康复。在我病情不断复发令人心力憔悴那段时间，他告诉我的家人别放弃希望，我相信 Winner 能这个熬过这关。有时候五月天也会下雪，但夏天终究会来。刚开始我信以为真了，还记得有一次我彻夜不眠守在我爸妈的房门前提防我认为那些声音会可能带来的威胁。我曾经拿着一个塑料的叉子当武器，然后我那情形就像是在说别惹我，你又不知道我有武器吗？这是我用的一个战术。 This is strategic,、strategic. 经过一切呢，我才恍然大悟，每一个我听到的声音都跟自己的密切相关，而且都带着丰富的这个情绪，只是我以前没有机会处理那些记忆，像是性创伤、性虐待、这个愤怒啊、惭愧、罪恶感，或者是这个妄自菲薄，那些声音取代了伤痛，并把痛苦说了出来。不过最重要的启示也许是，当我明白那些最具敌意和侵略性的声音其实就是代表我受伤最深的那部分，因此正这些声音呢需要最多关爱和同情。坦白的讲，有时我还挺享受这被关照的感觉啊，被关照就是在指这个他这个声音跟他说话。就像这个王尔泽说哈，唯一比被别人议论更糟糕的事就是你这个人根本不值一提。这个经验让我非常善于偷听人讲话，因为我可同时听懂两边的话，算起来也没那么糟。对我而言呢，身为众声喧哗 Intervoice 的一员，我引以为荣啊。他说的这个 International Hearing Voice Movement 就他有这么个筹办计划啊，他就是通过这个组织来治疗一些跟他一样的哈，就是在这个饱受声音折磨的人。人类呢，有一个心理学家曾经说过，人类是很特别的生物，与生俱来就有疗愈的能力和运用此天赋的智慧。因此呢，身为社会的一份子，最荣幸的事莫过于帮人自我疗愈，见证一切，伸出援手，并分担苦痛，还要坚持人们康复的希望。同样的，我要对那些历尽磨难的人说，我知道经历过那些伤害不会让我们的人生就这样下去，我们是独一无二的，心灵无法被占据的、扭曲或夺走，而光明永存。如同一位名医对我说，不要跟我说别人对你的看法， 我要听你怎么看待自己。好了，我给大家翻译完了，不知道大家有没有听明白呢？那么我们下期再会。
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。